Log Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contaminated.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program, and I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We have
a recording has started.
We have a very good show planned for you this evening, and I'm so glad that you stopped by to be with us. Let's go ahead and start welcoming our various guests. We have Pastor Bo on, who's going to be listening in tonight, so we want to welcome him just as a listener. Pastor, we are so grateful that you're here. So we know that you're going to just be listening in. So thank you for that.
Great to be on the call, and thank you, Sister Sparkle, for the friendly reminder that you call.
You're quite welcome, Pastor Bo.
Excellent. Let's go ahead. Now we're going to go ahead and welcome. let's go ahead and welcome Miss J to tonight's program. Miss J, welcome to tonight's program. It's good to have you on with us.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back with you today for another exciting show.
All right. And she'll come to us in just a moment to read the disclaimer. Let's go ahead with Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be here tonight, Dr. Walker, and happy birthday weekend to Miss James, turning a 3-score challenge. I'm trying to make it a 3-score straight up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and also welcome Sparkles to tonight's broadcast. Sparkles, very good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Dr. Walker, co-host, and listening audience. Good to be on the show tonight. I'm looking forward to the topic of discussion. And happy belated birthday, Ms. J.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's from all of us, Ms. J. Happy belated birthday. So we want to also welcome Candlestick. Candlestick, are you here with us tonight? All right, perhaps he'll be joining us momentarily. I don't want to forget any of the co-hosts because this new forum won't give us everybody right away. All right, did I miss anyone? I don't think I did. All right, we're going to go ahead and continue. Tonight's topic is, do you know how much God really loves you? Last night we talked about have you ever had that experience? Are you having it? Or have you ever had that feeling of love, being in love? And then how do you know what true love really means? So tonight we're talking about do you know how much God loves you? First, I want to start out. Let me start out with you, Demon Slayer, and ask the question. There are people who don't even believe in God who call themselves atheists. You know, these are people who don't believe in God. Then you have other people who are agnostic. They say, well, they straddle the fence. It could be or it could not be. I don't know. So whatever it is, it is. And then some people say there's a higher power in terms of human higher power. So, I mean, people identify God as whatever they choose to identify God as. So let's go here and take a look. Demon Slayer, do you see God as a higher power in the form of a human being with these types of supernatural powers?
And that's why this becomes right now. I'm working with an atheist now, and he calls himself evil. His real name is Greg. He's a good person. You know what I mean? He just don't believe in God. So, you know what I mean? He has some things that happen to him. He's even cried on my shoulder. And I say, God's going to be with you. You know, you don't believe in it. And he said, he's supposed to start a good. And I know I don't, but I just, you know, bring on, I believe, or I really think. I said, hey, man, it's going to weigh on. Pretty soon you're going to start seeing angels.
Wow.
Just laughing about it and things like that. So I understand that kind of mentality, but I can say this: when life hits you, you're gonna know that it's gonna be a God, whatever the supernatural thing that you believe in, what you think is scientific or whatever. And nothing's up, God. When you get into that spirit, and then you feel death, and you know what I mean, and disdain, and you worry about stuff like. Sometimes you stress out, but you don't have to do all that. Just all you
have
to do is stay in the spirit of God.
Okay, so
that's my true love for God.
Right. So, Demon Slayer, I want to bring it back and paraphrase the question again to ask it this way: what makes you identify that there is a God for yourself? We're going to start with that. What makes you say, "I know that there's a God," but when I initially asked the question, and I asked the question in human form. And you said, yes. Are you looking at God as being in human form other than Jesus Christ?
God is there. God is a human form spirit. You know what I mean? The best way you can see him is the time in your life here on earth. And you look at things when you didn't even know God was there, but he was there. Or you didn't really, was any of the spirit of God, but he, as you look back in your life, you can really see. And he was there. I used to go speak in church. It was real small. I used to go to church every Sunday. And as I grew older, I said, even when I was asleep in church, and sometimes I wake up, that word still hit me from what we had, you know what I mean, services and talked about what we talked about. And I mean, I can see him. That was in my church. So God is there with me.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Cassandra to tonight's broadcast. Miss Cassandra, thank you for joining us. And then we'll have the disclaimer by Ms. J.
Good afternoon, Dr. Walker, and everyone. God bless you all. I thank and praise God for this day, and thank and praise him for how he has kept all of us throughout this day to be on the show one more time. God bless you all.
Oh, amen. Thank you for that. Ms. J., would you go ahead and give us that disclaimer, please?
Okay. Dr. Walker and Dr. Jeffrey on the show, let's make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement of legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let us enjoy the show tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Jane, for that. So if I may let me just take this commercial break just for a moment. And if I may kindly and respectfully ask, and starting with myself, that if we, you know, to keep the programming smooth and flowing and respectful, and I'm starting with myself, I'm taking responsibility for myself because I've gotten on the show and maybe I've disagreed with someone. So instead of, I'm thinking and I'm searching myself and I'm always asking the Holy Spirit to help me. So if someone says something that I may not agree with, then I want to ask you all. Let me just ask you all because I was praying about this. And I want to be able to say, well, I see it this way. I don't want to call someone out to say that I disagree with you. But I say, well, I see it this way. Then this is just my humble opinion. Let me ask you, Demon Slayer, would you find that would be a more respectful way of doing things? I'm just asking because I want to make sure that we're all comfortable on the show and me being the host, and you all are co-hosts, so we're equal in status as far as I'm concerned. You know, I want to make sure that none of us are offended. So, Demon Slayer, I'm asking you, if you make a comment, if I may ask, and then I say, well, is it better for me to just say, well, and I don't agree with what you said, and I might say, well, I see it a little differently rather than saying, well, Demon Slayer, I disagree with you. Can I just put it back to myself and say, my opinion is? What do you think, Demon Slayer?
Well, Dr. Walker, this is a very respectable show. And you know what? It revels on being truth and being real. And that's what the thing about, we might disagree, and you might come at it on a point. I wouldn't take it as, okay, he's saying the wrong. No, I'm looking at your perspective, so I like to look at perspectives and then dissect them, do your research on them, and then you get wiser and wiser coming from somebody else's perspective. That's what I love about the show. Everybody got their own perspective, and they'll get up here hooting and hollering, and we'll be, hey, okay, let's see how it's coming.
Right.
You know, I want to say I love you, Dr. Walker, and this is a great show.
Well, I love you too, and I appreciate you. And I also want to just be able to say, please, you all of us are on equal playing grounds here. I'm learning from each and every one of you all, and I hope I'm able to share something that you all, through the questioning, and I know sometimes they get thought-provoking, but I'm just asking you, don't take my word for things. I'm the least among you all. Don't take my word for anything. I'm not putting myself out here to be this righteous guy, this perfect guy, because I got my own cross to bear. And so I'm just out here just like the rest of us giving an opinion. I can get it wrong. I have gotten it wrong. And I certainly apologize to you all. And I'm saying don't take my word for it. You know, Pastor Roll is my mentor that I look up to. And I look up to each and every one of you all. I learn from everybody on this show. I appreciate it. So if you all don't mind, you know, and you may want to practice too, I don't want to offend anyone. I love this. I call it the brain bowl, where everybody's got so many opinions and their thoughts. You all have me going researching that. I got to make a confession here. I haven't really been studying my law for a couple of days especially since last night's show. When I was listening to last night's show, it was like, wow. I mean, the opinions that were on last night's show, it was like, I couldn't even study you all. And I'm, you know, it was like, I feel so bad that I didn't put in any studies today. So I will just resort to myself and say, listen, I kind of see it this way, you know, trying not to offend anybody. Let me go to Sparkles. Sparkles, what do you think? Should I just say to you, Sparkles, I don't agree with you. I think you got it all wrong. And then tell you what I think, because I'm thinking I'm right. Of course, I don't mean that. But, Sparkles, how would you feel about that?
Human beings, more than likely, will get defensive and all that stuff and take it personal and all that stuff. I think a better approach is like what you said. My humble opinion is, or my perspective is, instead of saying, I don't agree with what you just said, Dr. Walker, and all that stuff, that kind of makes a person very defensive, in my opinion. I think it's better to soften it very, very much so and say, well, I see it this way.
Okay. I kind of like that approach. Let me go here. Miss Jay, let me bring you in here. I mean, Miss Jay, if I just tell you right up straight off the bat that, Miss Jay, I kind of see it differently, with all due respect, or I just kind of see it differently. I think, you know, and I started to tell you, well, I think a man should have like 14 wives if he can afford them, and they will accept him. You know, he don't sign a document. So, you know, and you're saying, no, he should just have one. So, Ms. J, does that even make sense, what I'm saying? If you don't agree with it, do you just say, well, Dr. Walker, you must be going to lost your mind. What do you think, Ms. J?
You know, the show, I love it, and it's not a show for us to debate, you know, different opinions. We just give our opinions and thoughts, and for all of us to think about it, like you said, you know, because I've learned a lot from what people are saying. So, you know, my thing is, if you say something to me, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But, you know, I'm thinking this way, you know, or something like that, or my thoughts, you know. But I wouldn't cut you down on what you say because that's your thought.
Right.
So I would, you know, because we're not debating, we're just sharing. That's what I see. You share yours, I share mine.
That's a very good. So Ms. Jay, so if I did give that statement that I think it's okay for a man to have 14 wives and 7 concubines, how would you, I mean, even if you don't agree, I mean, how would you tell me? I mean, would you just let me go on?
Okay.
Okay.
That's the way I take stuff like that, you know.
Okay. okay.
Something like that. But you just mention it, that's fine, but, you know.
Okay. Miss Cassandra, let me bring you in here, Miss Cassandra. So, Miss Cassandra, do you think that I could, if I want 14 wives and 7 concubines, shouldn't that kind of like, if I'm thinking that there's nothing wrong with that, Miss Cassandra, I mean, how would you feel about that? Because you're not one of my wives or one of my concubines.
Oh, no. I'm going to be real about it. At this day and time right now, if you want that many, you can have them. And I'm going somewhere else. And I trust God to send me the one that he had for me because I couldn't take that one.
But Ms. Cassandra, you think I'm going to miss you if I got 13 more and 7 more concubines?
Even if you thought about me. Let me say this. Even if you thought about me.
Right.
There's no way in the world that you would be able to please me when you were ever so many others. That means I got to wait 14 days or 14 nights for you to come back around to me.
But wouldn't that make a nice relationship because you don't have to worry about me getting on your nerves for 14 days?
Well, you would get on my nerves and have you wait.
Okay. Tonight's topic is, do you know how much God loves you? That's the nice topic. And we got a real, this is going to get deep tonight. But before we get started, I don't want to miss any of the co-hosts. Candlesticks, are you there? Candlesticks, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
I am here and listening. Welcome, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening, Candlesticks. So let me go here now and bring it back here. Miss Cassandra, you just threw me for a loop. I mean, you just threw me for a loop. Miss Cassandra, why are you mad? Are you mad because, a brother want to have 14 wives?
No, I'm not mad, but let me say this now.
Uh-huh.
Brother, listen.
Okay.
If we were to go out there and do the same thing, would you be able to handle it?
Well, if I got 14, I probably wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like me. And you know what I'm saying? And I had 14 men.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you know, and this is just my opinion, you all. This is just my opinion. And, of course, I don't speak for any other man. This is my opinion. what was I going to say? You threw me off, and I forgot my thought. But I'm going to try to bring that. Help me, Holy Spirit, here. All right, you got all these men. Then I'm going to figure, like, we can issue it, I can issue it, but I can't take it. I can't take it. I can issue it, but I can't take it. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That's it, that part. That's
right,
it,
right. So I couldn't handle it because I'm thinking God created more women, and it's subjective. It comes down to how I'm thinking, okay, well, it's a lot of women. They need to share the man. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm thinking. So, and so I'm thinking, and I can't speak for any other man, that I can't handle that with you having all of them. Because, it's like the other ladies need, there's so many women. So that's what I'm thinking. And I'm not saying it's right, you all. Of course I'm not saying it's right. I'm not trying to encourage anybody. And I'm not trying to get myself stabbed either. So I'm just saying, that was just a thought. And Miss Cassandra just had me riding with this because she threw me off. So, which was a good thing. I like that. All right. So, let me ask you. Let me go with. Let's go with Sparkles. Sparkles, how do you see God? You know, some people we talked about atheists, agnostic. How do you see God? Do you put him in human form outside of Jesus Christ? Do you put him as a spirit? Do you? And then he talks. They talk the Trinity. How do you see the Trinity? Help me with that, please.
I see God as a spirit, and I see Jesus Christ as a son, okay, and human flesh that lives here on earth.
So Jesus is here on earth?
I said he was.
Oh, he was here on earth. Where is he now?
Yes. He's in heaven, the right hand of the Father.
Okay, all right. So the Trinity, the third part, the Holy Spirit, you see God as a spirit. Jesus as a son in human form. So what is the Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit?
and the Holy Spirit lives within you.
So we are you saying we're gods? We're part of the Trinity?
I don't know. I would say yes, but I don't know how to defend that.
Okay, so when Jesus left, he said, I will send you. So people were already here. Was the Holy Spirit here at the time before Jesus ascended back to heaven? Was the Holy Spirit here, or was the Holy Spirit with God in heaven? And if God is a spirit, how is the Holy Spirit also a spirit? But they're all one of the same.
Yes, they are.
So,
no,
okay, we're going to actually stand by. Let's go here. Candlesticks, let me bring you in here. Candlesticks, how do you see the Trinity? And we're making a point with this, you all. Do you know how much God loves you? But go ahead.
I see the Trinity as God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Like you just mentioned that when Christ left, he said that when he left, he will send us the Holy Spirit. He will send us the Comforter to lead and guide us into all truth.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I see it. So, because, you know, in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. And so I see God as a human being.
So you see God as a human being?
I do, yes.
In the form like we are, in our form.
Yes.
Wow, that is interesting. Okay, and the Holy Spirit, you see it.
Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So just how Jesus came down and was incarnated, you know, into human flesh, and I believe, because if you listen.
Did you say incarnated?
No, I'm taking it back. No, he,
Yeah, did you see God? You see God as a human being and Jesus as a human being and the Comforter as the Holy Spirit. But people often say that God is a spirit. And I'm asking you, what are you saying? You're saying he's now a human being.
I believe that he is. I believe that God can be anything he wants to be.
But isn't he that with Jesus? But he's the Father. The Father. Meaning God, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've also seen the Father. Have you not seen me and not seen the Father? You've seen the Father. But then can any person look on God and live?
Yeah, right now we can't
know. No.
Because we're all living in a very sinful world.
So what did Jesus mean that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, but nobody can see God? Moses couldn't even see his face. He couldn't see his face. Go ahead.
I believe that when Jesus said that, it's actually within character, not per se his physical form.
Okay.
I kind of can retract that then. But yeah, with the way that, like for instance, I take my brother and my dad. My brother does not look physically just like my dad, but his mannerism. The thing that he does, the way that he laughs, the thing that he says, sitting in the tone of his voice, is a spitting image of our Father. So, in fact, when I see my brother, you see my dad, because that's exactly how they act.
Wow, this is rather deep. Wow. Cassandra, how do you see the Trinity? Do you see God as a person? And I'm thinking, how is he omniscient, meaning he can be everywhere at all times? And how is he omnipotent, meaning he has all knowledge? So how do you see God? And we often talk about God the Father, but it's actually a Trinity. Go ahead.
That's what you called me, right?
Yes.
I see God. Okay, I see God. Ooh, it's everything. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He just is.
It just is. I mean, there's no way that one could just really say, give a good definition other than he just is.
Okay.
He said, I am.
Okay, right. I am that I am.
I mean,
go ahead. You say he's everywhere. Is he here on earth? God, the Father. Is he here, Ms. Cassandra?
Here, he dwells within us and our spirit, because he said we have to know each other by the spirit. Because when we leave him, we're not going to know each other by the flesh.
Okay, so.
That's why when we have a relationship with God, and then we have a relationship with God, and we will know him by the spirit.
Okay.
Because he speaks to our spirit.
Oh.
And when we meet one another, like kindred brothers and sisters, we know who we are. We know that our two brothers and sisters. You understand what I'm saying? He's present. He's not present in the flesh like us, but he's present.
Okay, so God is here on earth? So I'm thinking God is in heaven. So are you telling me, Ms. Cassandra, and help me understand, that God is here existing on earth? Then who's in heaven besides Jesus?
Oh, he's there. He's there. He's everywhere.
See?
He said his eyes go to and fro. Come on here. And he decree and declare over his word that even his word is established in his word. Okay? And one thing, he also said is this right here. He said, not one tittle of his word will pass away. Before that happened, he said heaven and earth will pass away. Come on here.
Right.
So with that being said to me, glory to God, he's here.
Okay, so when Jesus left the earth, he said, I will ascend to my Father who is in heaven. He didn't say anything about his Father was here on earth. He said his Father was in heaven. And then he said, I will send to you the Holy Spirit, a comforter that will be to you.
Uh-huh.
So how is God here? And then where are the angels, other than the fallen angels? Where are the other angels?
It's a spiritual world, Dr. Walker. It's a spiritual world.
So what does that mean?
And the thing about, what does that mean, a spiritual world?
Yes.
It's the unseen. That's why when we pray for God's protection for the seen and unseen danger. You don't see danger coming before it happens.
So where are the angels, though? The angels
are present because God has put them on the assignment to watch over us as well. We have angels assigned to our life.
So we have God here on earth. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But so you're saying we have God here on earth, and of course we respect everybody's opinion. God here on earth, Jesus is in heaven, and the angels are also here protecting us. So only Jesus is in heaven by himself? Who's in heaven with him?
Nope. He said, the word tells me from what I understand. If they are one, and he was there in the beginning with the Father, he's here now. That means he was here before we were here. You understand what I'm saying? He's already was, and is, and is to come. So he was here, even back then.
Okay, so if the Trinity is here, then was it, I'm trying to understand, then if the Trinity was here already and Jesus left, he ascended to heaven, then why did he say, I'm going to send a comforter unto you if they are already here?
Because Jesus was here on earth. He was sent from, he was sent from the spiritual world here on earth in the natural. So for us to realize and see and understand in our little, as they say, pea brain mind, to understand it, is because he had to come here in the flesh for us to see that. And that's how he ascended, because he was still in the flesh form.
So was Jesus, go ahead, please.
So when he ascended and everything, they, the ones that were here then, that we know the story and have seen, you know, pictures and everything when I moved.
You said pictures. When you said pictures, you said pictures?
I'm saying, like, you know how they have shown pictures and, you know, as children to help us understand from children even now have heard, you know, in the Bible, pictures, just like thing what I'm saying. When you saw him ascend, so they were giving that illustration of him ascending up into heaven. You see what I'm saying? This is why we feel like, because, well, this is how we know that when he was on the earth, he was in earth in the flesh form, such as ourselves. But then when he ascended to heaven, he ascended to heaven and went into the cloud, into the glory.
All right, we're going
to
ask you to stand by. Miss J, Miss J, we're going to bring you in here. Miss J, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know? That's tonight's topic. Do you know how much God loves you? How, first of all, how do you know that he loves you? How do you know that?
You know, I thought about the song,
"Do
you love me?"
This,
I know, but
that's
the Bible tells me stuff.
Okay. And what does the Bible say? John 3:16.
John 3:16, they love the world, so he gave it over to God and Sean, you know, for whoever. But we know all that, too, but we know he loves us, so through all our sin and through all our everything, he's always there for us, protect us, and, you know, and he's always, and he just covered the world with all his love for us, showing him in every aspect of our life that we can, you know. Mm-hmm. So when things happen to us that you can't see as humanly possible, that we could have resolved it or took care of it. And you know, it couldn't have been nothing but some supernatural, spiritual way of doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's why I believe and feel that there's a spirit out there, God, Jesus, they're all three of them. Yeah. One, God, one, and those three divine.
Is that what
you're
going to play into this?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even going to get it, though. It's Japanese. Play it in English, and that would be funny.
Okay. All right. No, that was, we were disrupted on that with that call. I'm sorry. Okay, so, Ms. J, how do you see God? Do you see, me personally, my opinion is God is omniscient, but his spirit, which is part of him, resides with us, and I believe that that's the breath that we breathe that makes him everywhere. That's in the trees and everything. That's in the trees because that's that spirit. So my question becomes, how do you see God? Do you see him as a human form being in man form that has this supernatural power?
I don't see him as a man in flesh, but I see him as more of a spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
because he's out on earth. So therefore, he can't be man flesh, you know. And you talked about the Son of Jesus and then the
Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one that gives us the strength to all of us that follow Jesus and gives the strength through the Holy Spirit. So it makes it all into one, three into one, you know, where we serve God and divide up in those three. But I don't think all of it, Jesus once walked the world, you know, as human flesh, but no more.
Okay. All right. So you know that God loves you because of everything that he's provided. Sparkles, let me bring you in here. Sparkles, how do you know how much God loves you? How do you know? How do you know?
His word tells me so, and I stand on his word, and I believe his word. So that is how I know, and it's the things around me. It means him showing me.
Through other people, through experiences, and all that stuff that he's there, always there with me. His word, and even though I might not feel it, a lot of times I don't feel it. Sometimes things, but I have to trust and believe in his word. It is so. That's how I know. And okay, so what specifically in the Bible, in his word, that makes you feel God loves me? I know he loves me. Because the Bible tells me so, like Ms. Jay said. What in his word? Give me some scriptures, if you don't mind, please, that you know, that you can identify with and say, I know God loves me because of this, other than John 3:16.
John 3:16, Oh, no. Okay, I'm a beautiful and wonderful creation. He created me just as I am, and I am beautiful in sight. What tells me that? So therefore, I accept that. I might not feel it all the time, but I accept that.
So you don't feel what all the time? That you're beautifully created or that God loves you all the time?
That I'm beautifully created. And sometimes I don't even feel like I'm loved all the time.
By God? By God?
By God sometimes. That's because I be having my little self-pity party.
Okay, so I'm kind of confused now. So once you said that
He loves me.
Huh?
He loves me. In regards to sometimes in my flesh, I don't feel like he loves me.
Okay. Tell me about that. I mean, but in your spirit, you feel he loves. I'm kind of confused, though.
No, it's just in my human flesh and my human nature that I'm just feeling like, oh, God, you really don't love me. Why are you letting me go through this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's just me in my flesh and my thoughts and so forth. It's not true. It's just how I'm feeling within myself.
But why are you thinking it then? I'm just asking. Why are you thinking that?
Like I said, having a pity party.
I see, because you're not getting what you want your way.
I don't necessarily know if I would say I'm not getting what I want. It could be maybe not getting what I want, or I don't really understand, or... It could be a host of things or whatever.
All right, we're going to ask you this.
God,
no, go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
But God never said this, and he loves me, period. Point blank. So I have to line myself up with my thoughts and everything maybe that I'm saying that's wrong, negative, and I line myself up with his word that he loves me, period. And he loves you. He loves you, and he loves you, Father. He loves you.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here. Demon Slayer, God said that he, in his word, he has given us everything that we needed. So why aren't some of us happy knowing that he's given us everything? Why are we still having these issues that of perhaps doubt that he loves us?
Because he was when you get to a point where, you know, you're not where you're at now, but you can still see God processing in your life to get it. But you got to have that spiritual real of belief and believing in him and trusting in him and go through the business type of thing, getting up early in the morning, having late days and getting your body showing up and stuff like that. You go through those, use your resources and everything, combine that with God. That's a lethal combo right there.
Okay, all right. Candlesticks, I want to bring you in here. Candlesticks, okay, so you see God differently, and, of course, many of us see God differently as well. But how do you know how much he loves you? And have you ever had reservations or doubt about his love or even his existence?
I was looking for the scripture because you had mentioned to the there scripture, and I had looked up one here, Isaiah 53:5, and it says that he was wounded, and I'm going to use me in place of our, but he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and his stripes, and by his stripes I am healed. So this tells me, lets me know how much Jesus Christ loved me. How God the Father, well, Jesus made the choice, come down in this sinful world not knowing if he would ever be with the Father again, because he took on human flesh to identify with everything that I am going through, we as a human race. And so, I mean, that's more love than I can even comprehend. And no, I have never had a doubt that Christ does not love me. I've always believed it. I may have fallen from his side, but I've never doubted that he loves me.
Okay, so candlesticks, any doubt that he existed, even from your early childhood or teenage years?
No, I've never doubted that.
Okay, so you said that he took on everything that we took on as humans, but Jesus never got married.
It doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter. So he understands the problems that people have in marriages if he never got married?
Yes, he does.
How?
Because he's Jesus, because he's God. He made us. He knows what feelings we have. He knows what we go through. And sometimes, you know, I used to kind of get stuck on that, and I'm going to use something else as an example. Because years ago, people would talk about, you know, how does Jesus know how a homosexual feels if he's not, you know, he's not a homosexual. But I think they get caught up in the, I don't know if the word is the act or what we're doing, but each person, regardless of where they are, there are emotions and feelings involved in that. So I believe that the emotions and feelings is what God feels as far as rejection. He feels our rejection. He feels our depression. He feels our anxiety. I don't believe that he has to be in those particular situations that we are in order to identify with what we are going through emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Okay, so
I do believe that.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought, please. I'm sorry.
Like I just said, I do believe that he can identify with every single thing that we're going through.
So if he can identify with every single thing that we go through, is he moved by our attitude or behavior? Is he moved by this? Huh?
We had that discussion. Yeah, we had that same topic a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I believe that God is moved by our obedience, and I still stand on that. So,
okay.
Yeah, I believe that God is moved by my obedience.
So if he understands what we're going through, let me just ask you this here. Adam and Eve did not even do it right according to Scripture. So wasn't he moved by the compassion he had for them by having a plan of salvation when he knew what was going to happen?
Yes, he was moved because I don't know if it was a discussion I had or if I could find it in the Bible, and I think it is in the Bible because the Father and the Son, they discussed what was going on, and I believe that's why Satan was jealous of Jesus because he was not included in the council with them, and so there was a plan.
Was it just the two of them that discussed this, or wasn't the Holy Spirit there as well? And wasn't Lucifer the fourth in line?
Yes, Lucifer was the fourth in line.
So the Holy Spirit was present with them. The Trinity was there together with that discussion for a plan of salvation. So weren't they moved when they knew in the omniscient state, all-knowing, that a garden was planted in the center? That tree was planted in the center of the garden where they had to pass this tree. Was that not temptation?
On Adam and Eve's part?
Yes.
Well, absolutely, it was temptation.
Okay, so then is it likely to say that God will tempt us?
No, I don't believe that God knows.
So how was the temptation then? How was the temptation?
I believe that temptation was there because God told them not to, but God didn't tempt them. They got tempted because they gave in to the flesh of the body by being disobedient and not doing what God had told them not to do.
Okay. So
God did not tempt them. They were tempted in their own flesh.
Okay, so candlestick. Some of you all may have heard me say this before. When I was a little boy, 13, in fact, I remember this distinctively. My mother would cook the big dinners for church on Friday, and she would tell us, you know, we had a dessert. I mean, growing up in the projects, you just didn't have luxury food. You had welfare food, but some things were a luxury. If your mother baked cookies, that's a luxury. If she made a cake, that's a luxury. If we had grape juice in the house, that was like, we think we're rich now because you got some grape juice in the house. So when she would say, do not touch this. Well, I didn't bother with cake, but if she made cookies, do not go in that cookie jar. You know, do not go. And when her telling me don't do it, it was like, I got to, why you made these cookies and you put them right there on the counter? I'm going to touch these cookies. And I did it every time. I'm not proud, but I did it. And it was like, I enjoyed it. And the sad part was I couldn't just eat one or two. It, I ate enough that there was the jar showed that cookies were missing. And that's the part. So if she didn't really want me to touch that, you know, and there's nine of us, and if she didn't want me to touch it, why couldn't she have just put it somewhere else that I didn't see it?
Your mother said it because she wanted something good for you, but you did not love your mother enough to be obedient to what she said.
I did love her enough. I thought I did. You talk about my mama was
That's just what we think, you know, and that's humanity thinking, not. I mean, you know, that's humanity, the flesh, and not the spirit. You know, and I think that's where I fall short sometimes because I'm thinking by my own self, you know, or thinking or justifying that if I do this, it's going to be okay with God. But no, we can't, we don't think for God because God says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. So that would lead me back to the Word of God and also the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So at that time, we have to fight. When we get possessed or I get beside myself and I want to do something that I know is contrary to the Word of God, I've got to cross with the Holy Spirit to help me, to help give me strength to not lean to my own understanding.
Okay, so Candlesticks, at 13, how am I supposed to figure out all of this stuff? And even we as adults now, I mean, it's like it's so much stuff that's spiritual in that spiritual realm that we're like children to God. I mean, how is it expected? Our foreparents, Adam and Eve, couldn't even get it right there. So I want to go back, but we're going to actually stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, I went in the cookie jar. Yes, I did, because she told me don't do it. And I mean, but you sit the cookies right there. What do you expect me to do, Miss J? I mean, it's good if I could have been obedient, but I wanted them cookies. And if, you know, if you don't, go ahead, Ms.
Your mother knew you were going to do 13, 11, 12. So as a parent, you were in training to be obedient. That's how sometimes we put those things tested for all the children, train them to teach them different things. But for you, you know, you just began to say, I guess, and your eyes, you had to have the cookies.
Yeah. I did love her, and even there were times when I got punished by her, I told my mother in a loving and respectful way, I'm never going to eat your food again. You know, and I'm only 13, and I'm telling her this. And she says, okay, that's fine. Now go to bed. So it was like she didn't care if I'm telling her, I'm never going to eat your food again. And she'd say, okay, that's fine. Now go to bed. So I'm thinking, she don't even love me. Miss J, she already knew. Miss J, when she sent me to bed, I waited till she went to bed. I went in there and tore that food up. You know what I'm saying? And she said, boy, you've been in this food, and you can't lie to her. Because she knew. She just knew. So the thing was, I like what you're saying. Maybe I was in training to be prepared to be obedient, but it took a lot of training. So here we are. Has God abandoned us, or does he love us, or are we in training? What are we, Miss J, in your opinion? Are we in training? Because we're not getting it right sometimes. Well, I know I don't get it right. I can't speak for anybody else. Miss J, do you always get it right?
No, And he knows that we are not perfect beings on earth. So, you know, yes, we are in training. And we have to learn, and we learn from doing wrong just like kids do, you know. And we learn how to be obedient to God. We just, all of this learning for us until we finally get it right. And we may not still get it right because, you know, we're going to see it. It might be, you know, I mean, things happen. But he forgive us for all that. And he worked with us to either grow and be better.
Okay, so Miss J, can you judge me for my sins when you got your own stuff going on? I'm just asking here.
No, okay, I cannot.
So if I want, so Miss J, if I want, and Miss Cassandra, I'm gonna come back to you in a moment, Miss J. So if I want these 14 wives, then I mean, if you're not one of them, you know, then why bother me?
I ain't gonna bother you because I don't want no man with all them women. So you're going
to
do your thing.
But I didn't ask you to be one of my women. I've got these 14. And Cassandra said earlier, she said she wouldn't be there and I would miss her. But I'm not missing her because I got 13 more if she decides to leave me. So, Ms. J, I mean, so, but nobody can judge me, right? Because they got their own mess going on. Would you say that's fair?
I'm not going to judge you.
Okay.
I'm not
going to
judge you. I might not understand you, but I'm not
going to
judge you.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Cassandra, I want to bring you back in here, Cassandra. So could I be in training with these 14 wives? Could I be in training? Was Solomon in training? What was going on? God loved him very much, made him the wisest man in the world.
Uh-huh. That's true. Man, let me say this. Now, you know, back then now, well, that time, I know other countries somewhere that's probably going on, but back then, you know, if the women didn't have all that going on, they needed a husband and man. So I can understand and see why these things were going on back then. And I wouldn't say he was in training. I wouldn't say that. Not for that. But during that time frame, I guess it was okay because of all that was going on. But here's the thing. now, why would one want to have all these practices when you have a queen? You understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I would not want to have the me being the queen. I could care less about all them princes. So if that's what you want, baby, you can have the princesses, but I'm a queen. So a queen still going to get what she wants. And here's the thing, another thing, and I was trying to get in on something else you were asking about a verse. And in Matthew 27:50 chapter, it tells us about how Jesus cried with a loud voice that he gave up the ghost, talking about him loving us. Now, is that man, although he had all these wives, and like you said, would you give up your life for one of those women? If you're going to be with all these women and got to wait 14 days coming to another, you may think about it, you may not, because they have so much other stuff going on. Will you give up your life for the one? Over all of these, you got to give up your life for one. Would you do that? 9 to my 10, I was looking at a program the other day by a king, how he had his wife put to death. And one of the family had a boy, and he died in childbirth. But you see what happens? It comes back on people. And so with this right here being said about Matthew 27:50, about how Jesus gave a loud voice and gave up the ghost, that's how I know he loved me, because he died for me. Every man is not going to die for you. People can say, I'll die for you, I do this, I do that. Okay, so the nitty-gritty comes, what you going to do?
But see,
you know what I'm saying? I'm still here.
But when you say that Jesus had an assignment, he came for a purpose. He came to redeem humanity back to him. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. But here's the thing, even with that purpose in the plan of God, like you were saying, in the Trinity, they were there all together, and Lucifer being the fourth man. Here's the thing. Jesus still had to come, and God gave us his best, his all. He said his only begotten son. So with him coming, glory to God, and I thank God for Jesus, amen, for coming to die for our sins. And like Ms. Jay said, we still sin. It's because the word says that we sin. And when people think, oh, I don't sin, I don't do nothing. Yes, you do. And that's a lie when you say you don't. But see, that's the sin there. Because he said in his word that we sin daily, even the sins that we know not all that we're doing. That's why we have to pray.
Okay, so we're almost out of time here. Mr. Tan, right, we're almost out of time here. I want to get, we got still a few more things to cover. So you said, back in your word, you said that you could understand back then. How could you understand back then when you weren't back there then? And there's nothing in the word of God, unless you can tell me or someone otherwise, that God changed his mind in the Old Testament where Jesus also existed, and he changed it to the New Testament. The New Testament, in my opinion, reflects Christ's life on earth when he came for his purpose, for coming. You see, the first man in the form of Adam, this is just my opinion, he sinned. He sinned. So it took the innocent lamb of Jesus Christ to come and redeem. Only Jesus Christ could have come. There was nobody else that was qualified that could come and redeem man or mankind back to himself, which is part of the Father, part of the Trinity. Adam, the first man, messed up. He messed up. So now it took the innocent lamb. God came himself in the form of Jesus to redeem us back to him. So when you say you understand things took place back then, Solomon had all these wives. What has changed? Because God doesn't change that I can't have the 14 wives. I'm just asking, I'm talking about God's love for us now. Because you're saying you could see back then when you weren't there, neither was I. But the Bible doesn't tell us anything. Unless it does, right, please educate me.
Exactly right. And I think it is. But what I'm saying with you that I understand back then is from what has been told, the stories that have gone on, all those women that then during that day. In fact, even now, if you will, if I can kind of bring it up today, kind of see how some men may be tempted, if you will. But these women out here in the street, they don't have nobody, no husbands that they can call on or be covered in, so their pimps cover them. Solomon covered those women back then. A lot of the women, their husbands died off and they was with different men back then, even the woman at the wedding.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen that with Solomon's wives, that they had husbands other than him. Now, can you tell me a scripture where I can find that?
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. It is that those women that was with Solomon was his wife. They didn't have husbands. That's what I said, that they didn't have husbands. But some of the women that did have husbands, they had, feel like they died, and they didn't have a husband. You see what I'm saying? So these women were with Solomon, and they took whatever came with the program.
Right. So,
well, I wasn't there then, but I'm just saying to you, it's to tell us, give my thought and opinion of it.
Right, I understand.
And they want to be secure.
Right, we're almost out of time. So I just want to bring something in just before we go here, and that is there's no scripture that I've seen that changes the Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where God changed. And then furthermore, what about if this was my culture? Let's say coming from Africa, where that's the culture of Africa, to have several wives, because when you look at it, we do our research, we find that there's the Euphrates River and the Nile River. These are in Africa. Euphrates River and Nile River. There, I believe that the Garden of Eden was there until it was removed from there to be taken to heaven. Candlesticks, I want to bring you in here just for a second. Are you familiar with the geographics or the history or the demographics of the Nile River and the Euphrates River at all?
I am not. No, I'm not a geographical person.
Okay, all right. Ms. Yeh, let me bring you in. Ms. Yeh, are you aware of the Euphrates River and the Nile River in relation to creation?
Not really.
Okay, anyone out there, any one of you all? Sparkles? Okay, Demon Slayer. Okay, well, this might be something that all of us might want to go take a look at, the Euphrates River and the Nile River. So now we have when we take a look at Africa, the continent of Africa, the second largest continent, the first being Asia. So when we look at the culture of the animal kingdom, I mean, where else could creation have formed? I'm just asking y'all, do you know anywhere that creation may have formed? on this earth? Miss Yeh, let me start with you before we close out. God's love for us. Could you think of any other place?
Where creation was formed?
Yes.
Ooh. Not just right off, not quickly, I can't.
Okay. Let me go Sparkles. Sparkles, do you know where creation may have taken place?
No.
Okay. Demon Slayer. All right, Demon Slayer.
I would say Africa.
You would say Africa. Shield of Faith is not with us. Cassandra, just quickly here. We're out of time, really.
Okay, can you hear me now, Dr. Rose?
I can hear you now. Go ahead, quickly, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just somewhere in Africa.
What's somewhere in Africa? Where creation was formed? Or you looked up the Nile River and the Euphrates River?
Over in Africa. I'm not sure the name of which one it is.
Okay. All right. All right. Who did I miss? Candlesticks. Candlesticks. Where do you think creation was formed?
Creation?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. If you look at science, I used to teach science, and I'm not saying that I got it right. Right? Because what we do is, science is an organized collection of knowledge about the world around us. That's what science really is. There's an organized collection of knowledge about the world around us. That's what science is. And they break it down into different categories of science. Well, you know, when you look at science and you look at the palettes of how things move, how man got all the way in London, how they got here, you know, just like they told us that it was going to be super bad weather. Well, when the heavens, when God decides to bring changes, to move pallets over the earth, he does what he does. He can move mountains. He does anything he wants to do to bring it. How do you think we have all of this gas or oil that constantly is there? That's constantly there for years. We're still going and having gas. Where are these natural resources coming from? You would think that by now maybe we've run out. God has created it, the love that he has for us, and I'm closing this out right now, you all. The love that he has for us, unimaginable. It's almost unbelievable. But we get so caught up into the small mindset of things that we don't realize how he's given us everything here, even the herbs for the healing of the nations. The healing of the nations. God's planet, because he created it in such a way, has so many resources for us that we are even destroying our own selves and we're destroying each other. He loves us unimaginably, unimaginably. And he does know what we are going through. He created us. He created us. And see, in science, if you get to what they call the prime colors, any of you all familiar with the prime colors? Anyone, please speak.
Was it like black and white?
Yes, yes, yes. Black is one of the prime colors. You see, the planet Earth was void and was dark. It was dark. And the water, the Spirit of God transferred over the planet. And God said, let there be light. His spirit moved upon this place. It's his creation.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
amen.
Black is a prime color. And see, you can get, if you start looking at how the races came to be, it started with one of the prime colors. That black was one of the prime colors. So these other things came out. And I know we have all different ethnicities and so forth on this team. And I'm not asking you, I'll take my word for it. Go research for yourself the prime colors and see how darkness, light came out of darkness. That's how God did it. And so when we have Caucasian people, you know, they even turn in, and this is not intended to be offensive to anyone, because I know we have a mixed audience, but their skin changes even when the breath is taken out. Their skin changes, you know? And so because light came out of darkness, and black is a prime color. And I would love to give you all more on this, but I want to make certain that I'm not offending anyone on this program. But I'm asking you all, please, research for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You look at the Euphrates River, the Nile River, and what the scriptures say about that. Let me tell you something. You can't even imagine how much God loves us, that he sent, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten, the word begotten. Next time I'm on the show, somebody tell me what it means. Begotten, son, begotten. Somebody want to help me out with that right now? Let's go ahead. I know we're running out of time. Begotten. Candlestick, tell me, begotten, what is it?
You're catching me, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay, Miss J, what is begotten?
Adam was the begotten son, the first son. Is that what it means? I don't know.
That's a good point, because Adam didn't have parents. But so, Miss J, that even brings us to even a deeper point. Adam did not have parents. God was his parent. You see? Eve didn't have parents. And then, and watch this, Christ, begotten son, meaning conceived through the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a man. Joseph was not his biological father. God was his father, that he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. That's begotten, meaning he didn't come through the natural elements of things by a man on earth and a woman on earth. He gave his only, that's solo, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish. But that's love. That's love. That's love. I'm just closing it out here, you all. I mean, when you know how much God loves you, let me tell you something. When you know how much God loves you and you realize where the love is coming from, and this goes with what last night's show was about, that love will transcend into you, and everything that you do will be about love. It's about God's love in you. If God really truly resides in you, which I believe he does, because the breath that we breathe is God's breath, because he breathed into Adam was a corpse before God breathed into everything that God did was systematic, was methodological. That's what it was. God knew everything that he was doing. He had this man laid out, and he was just a corpse. And it wasn't, he didn't become a living being until God breathed his breath into that corpse. Then he became a living being. That's how much God loves us. Adam was the first pregnant man because God put him to sleep and created a woman from his rib and took that rib out of him and created a woman. That's how much God loves us. I mean, I'm telling you all right now that whatever you want, God has given it to you because he loves us so much that if we exercise love and non-selfishness, if we just show love for each other, let me tell you something, that's the greatest feeling that you will ever encounter. There's a show that I was starting to watch today. Somebody recommended it called 24 Hours in Love or something, 24 Hours of Love. It's on the Roku channel, and you can watch it there, 24 Hours of Love, something like that. Lynn Whitfield is in the movie. Several stars are in that movie. And the movie starts out saying that if you find love, true love, it goes with last night's show. That's the greatest feeling that you will ever encounter. And I take it even deeper than that. When you begin to understand how much God loves you, each one of us, each one of us. This is my opinion, you all. Forgive me for going overboard. I know they're going to hurt me, but I just want to tell you this here. You can be excited every day that you wake up. His love will transcend into you. And listen, for anyone, if you want the right man in your life, lady, it will transcend because God's love is so radiant. It's so powerful that your love, the way that your character, your attitude, everything, it will draw love to you. Man, if you want that lady, it will draw that right lady to you when you exercise God's love that lives and resides within you. Oh, I got to stop you. I got to get off the air. But let me tell you something. There is nothing greater. There's nothing greater than God's love. Let me tell you something. When you begin to really experience God's love in your life, and you know, I'm going on with this because I read his word every single day, and it will excite you. It refuels you because guess what? That's the spiritual food that we cannot live without. Oh, we might exist, but you're living when you take that food in. We're spiritual beings, as Pastor Roll always says, have a human experience. But we need the spiritual food. We need the spiritual food. We can exist without it to a certain degree, but that spiritual food will tell you, hey, don't worry about this here. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. I got you. I got you. That's what God is saying. He says, I provide for the sparrow. How much more you mean to me than a sparrow? Listen, you all, I know I'm out of time. Thank you all for your patience. But I'm telling you, if you don't know how much God loves you, when we get off this phone, all of us need to just, I'm going to do it. I can't tell you all what to do. I'm just going to tell him, God, I love you so much. And, you know, because you first loved me. You first loved me that you sent your only begotten son to die for me. That's love. That's love. We got an upcoming show. Ms. Cassandra said it earlier. Would I die for any other women? Probably not. It's just you bear money, you got to know. I'm sorry, you all. That's a bad part of me. I'm sorry. I told you all I'm not perfect. What did you all expect? Huh? Mm-hmm. Dina Fair, you're going to say something. Okay, so as we look at this here, you all, with God's love, let's not take that for granted. He loves us so much. And listen, we should have love for each other. We should be willing to forgive. I'm not saying be stupid with it now, but I'm just saying, when you demonstrate that love, listen, I don't take my word for it. You just watch. If you practice love and loving everybody without negativity, without talking about people and all of this kind of stuff, you're going to be amazed. I'm telling you what my life experience has been. You're going to be amazed at the people that you draw into your life, the right people, because you will negate. Your spirit will tell you when there are people, negative people around. It will tell you because you will have that spirit of God. That spirit of godliness that resides in you, and you will protect. Listen, I walk in my neighborhood just about every single day. There have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 11 dogs that have come up to me, running at me, dogs in the neighborhood that were not on leash. And not one of those dogs harmed me. Even the most vicious dog, two of them run up to me at the same time. And I carry this little tennis racket with me in my arm. And all I do is call on the Father and extend that stick. It's like the jaws of those lions stop before they consumed Daniel. They don't even touch him. Those dogs were the same with every one of them. I just held out this stick, call upon the Father. And those dogs' mouths shut, and they went from viciously coming at me to and turned around. Now, that's how much God loves us. No weapons formed against us will prosper because that's how much he loves us. So we allow foolishness to go on. It's the reason why some of these things come at us. Yeah, that's just my opinion. I got to go. Listen, thank you all for tonight. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for understanding how much God loves you. Thank you for sharing. And listen, we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 6:30 to 8:30 talking more about God's love. You don't want to miss that show. Listen, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we'll be back next Thursday for the Dr. Biswell Show. We have a show coming up. I've got to tell you this before I get off the air. Please bear with me just about 45 more seconds. We got a show coming up, and we're not sure what the title is yet, but I want to throw this out to one of you all tonight who's encouraged enough to answer it. The question will become, a woman is on a boat. She has her six-year-old child and her husband who's ill, and he can't even walk, but he's ill. And she realizes she has a life jacket for herself, and she can save only one other person. One other person. The question becomes, does she save her husband or does she save her baby? She saves herself, of course, but then does she save her husband or does she save her baby? Miss J, will you help me with that one?
Jesus, I'm saving my baby. I'm saving my baby because the child hasn't had that long to live, give me an opportunity, and I'm
sure
my husband will
be
on me to save the baby.
Okay, but Miss J, isn't the husband supposed to come first before the child?
I gave birth to this child.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Miss Cassandra, the same question to you. When the Bible talks about that spouse comes first, Miss Cassandra, I'm asking you for your honesty. Who are you going to save, Miss Cassandra? How is that hard, Ms. Cassandra? You can only save one person. You can only save one person, yourself and one person, your six-year-old baby or your husband, whom God has joined together. Let no man set asunder. That spouse is supposed to be first. Ms. Cassandra, you gave birth to this child. What you going to do, Ms. Cassandra?
Okay, let me say it like this. Just kidding. Give me a quick second.
So you got to think about it?
No. I'm telling you, I save my husband because you have no children. But if my husband is sick and ill, and I save him and he died, at least I, and I didn't save my child, then both of them did. Well, at least my child to grow up and have more children.
Ms. Cassandra, just tell us who you're going to save, Ms. Cassandra. Because by the time you give this analogy, the boat will sink. So who are you going to save, Ms. Cassandra?
Oh,
huh?
I have to save my sister, Lord. That means we can't leave.
Wait, I didn't hear that. You're going to save who?
I'm going to be with another woman. It's not going to be.
Okay, Ms. Cassandra, the boat is sinking, Ms. Cassandra. All y'all about to drown. Who are you going to save?
I'm going to save myself.
Okay, all right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, you can say same scenario. Your wife is sick, you know, but it's not incurable. But you got a six-year-old baby girl. She's a daddy's girl. Who are you going to save, Demon Slayer? No, but the thing is, you can only save yourself and one other person. Who do you save, Demon Slayer? Those are the instructions.
Yeah. I would give you the baby girl and get a picture that I would have left somebody. So it was left someone that was, even if he had become me, I would say, hey, go save the picture generation. Look good. Go see the Lord in the morning. I got some money for
you. Okay. Pastor Roll, I got to bring you in here before we get off the air. Pastor Roll, are you there, Pastor Roll?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Pastor Roll, the same scenario.
Show, great discussion, and I will ask my family to pray for me. I've been just exhausted and tired, and I just told Dr. Walker to put me on this demo. But great discussion, great show.
Thank you, Pastor Roll. And we're going to be praying for you. Pastor Roll, just one question. Pastor Roll, you got to save only one person, your wife who's not feeling well, or your six-year-old baby. And you all, let's say you're in your 60s, so you ain't having no more children. So, Pastor Roe, who are you going to save?
Well, without the arguments or anything, I would save my wife.
Okay.
Because we could have more children.
No, but you don't have children in your 60s, Pastor Roe? I was just asking. Sarah was 98, but I'm just saying.
But I would just say, from my personal opinion, I would save my wife.
Okay. All right. And for me, also, Pastor Roe, I would say my wife, but listen, we're going to have that show coming up. We're going to have that show. Candlesticks, if it were you, who would you say the candlesticks? Okay, perhaps Candlesticks is not there. Sparkles, who would you say?
That's a hard one. I would say the child, and then I would say the husband.
Candlesticks. I mean, Sparkles, we've been on here asking this question like 10 minutes. You don't know by now?
I know.
Listen, we're out of time. We're going to bring that show to you all forthcoming. But listen, thank you, everybody. Listen, we'll see you tomorrow morning or next week. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Baby girl, what do you think? Holly is in to answer the question. You know that, right? It didn't answer the question. That's what Holly is. What's that? They know. They don't know. You don't know, baby. But I believe that God must hold much that is almost unmanageable. Almost unmanageable. But God loves all of us. So what do you think, baby? How much does God love us? More than we could ever imagine. Wow. So then now I got to do this one. Had some people send text messages. Baby, when should we eat? Yeah, but I'm hungry. Yeah. You want some of that stuff? I'm not going to get at home. I'm just going to see if I can ask you to be on the picture. On the Instagram, the family. Let me look at the program. They're beginning 20 minutes. What time is it now?
Okay, you're 8:45. And then if you want me to watch that movie, that other 8:45, I'm going to work fast.